Hello and welcome to Test Coast Games, the podcast about tabletop games from a West Coast perspective. My name is Mark Uessa, and I'll be one of your hosts for tonight's recording. And tonight, we actually have a new voice joining us. We have my co-host for today, Nick Angier. Welcome, Nick.
Thanks for having me.
Now, did I get your last name right? Is it Angier?
It should be Angier in French, but my family speaks about 7 words of French among them, so we just totally do it the English way, Angiers.
Now tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, if you would.
Sure. I'm a local Vancouverite. I'm the organizer of Meeple Leaf board game events. I run all kinds of board game events throughout Lower Mainland BC. I'm a total board game nerd. I'm also a member of the Vancouver Playtest Meetup Group. And I'm really excited to be guest co-hosting this episode of Test Coast Games with two fellow Pacific Northwesterners.
You do great work with your event organization, and let's talk a little bit about your upcoming events at the end of the show, if that works for you.
Sure.
Thanks to Nick's amazing segue there, we're going to introduce our guest for today. We have Austin with Pacific Northwest Gamer. Welcome, Austin.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm very glad that you agreed to join us. I follow you on Twitter. I also follow your YouTube channel, which you've posted a number of excellent videos about local game-related events, game spaces, really fantastic stuff that I encourage our listeners to go check out. Did I miss any key media channels that you have going with Pacific Northwest Gamer?
Probably my biggest following is on Instagram with the same handle. I have a lot of people, and there I mainly focus on just posting my enjoyment of games. So lots of pictures of exciting new games from Kickstarter I just got, or playing games with friends, or events going on. So that's a pretty big one. And then I also have a Facebook page dedicated to this as well for the people who are still mostly on Facebook.
Well, I will be sure to check you out on those two additional channels as well. We'll remind them about your media channels at the end of the episode. I don't know if you remember me, but we ran into each other at Terminal City Tabletop Convention. We were outside and I was asking you about your Seahawks hat.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, that was me.
That's so funny. Yeah, that was actually my first time going up to that event. But I had a blast, just kind of a real players convention style, mostly just getting together with other people and playing rather than the new hotness and testing out things.
That's how I ended up following you on social media. Why don't we roll into the questions?
Sounds great.
All right, we've already been talking about it a bit, but tell us about Pacific Northwest Gamer. How would you describe Pacific Northwest Gamer?
Pacific Northwest Gamer is just a celebration of board gaming and tabletop gaming in the Pacific Northwest. It really started out on Instagram as me just wanting to share my passion for board games and tabletop games, and then kind of spread into more and more. But I really just love this hobby, and I love where I live and the great state of Washington, and I love travel. So I enjoy being able to travel down to Oregon and up to Vancouver and meeting other gamers there.
Well, I'm really glad I found your channel because, you know, I feel the same way. I feel very fortunate about living here in Cascadia, right next to you guys in Washington State and Oregon State, close nearby. You're actually our first guest from the Pacific Northwest. It's a really exciting scene down there.
Is there a specific reason why you chose Pacific Northwest as opposed to just Washington State or the city that you lived in?
Honestly, I think it's just perfect blending of I love to travel and my passion for board games, and essentially being in the Seattle area, I can drive 3 hours and be in Vancouver. I can drive 3 hours and be in Portland, and I just love traveling to those different regions, and so I thought it encapsulated that pretty well.
Yeah, culturally, I think the Pacific Northwest, we all have a lot of similarities. And you're right, it's all within driving distance.
Yeah, driving places is a lot cheaper than flying. And if you're driving down or driving up and you make friends with people, like the board game community is so welcoming that I have places to stay with fellow board gamers, so I don't have to pay for hotels. I can travel down to Portland, and I have friends down there. I can travel up to Vancouver and hang out with my Canadian friends.
That's awesome.
I can tell from your YouTube channels that you do travel around a lot. You're hitting up a lot of exciting game-related venues. So can you tell us a little bit about your YouTube channel and what you show on there, on that platform?
Yeah, actually, if you don't mind, I kind of want to go into the story of how my YouTube channel was created.
Yeah, please do.
Essentially, I created my Instagram and started kind of blowing up on that scene, capturing a lot of different followers. And as I would go to conventions and meet people, and they'd be like, oh, where can I follow you? And I'd tell them about my Instagram, and they'd be like, oh, what do you do on YouTube? And I would be like, nothing. And they'd be like, oh, that's weird. You should do something on YouTube. And after hearing that probably like 12 different times, I decided to create a YouTube channel. And if you go back through to like the early videos I created, you can see not only the terrible quality I started out, but just kind of the lack of vision I had originally. I started with doing different overviews of Kickstarter games that were coming out, and just found that that was not my niche, and decided to branch into what it's become now of traveling to Oregon and Vancouver and around Washington to show off these amazing board game cafes and pubs that we have all around us.
I'd just really like to say that I was watching your YouTube channel, and I really liked how you actually did reviews of board game cafes, because you can find a review for pretty much any game that you can think of, but there's not a lot of reviews of these places where you can go to game, so it's great to have that knowledge. I've heard of Mox Boarding House many times, but seeing your video and then having a tour of the place, it gives me a much more visceral idea of what it's actually like, and now I want to go even more.
Thanks for watching and supporting, and what you're saying is exactly what I want people watching my videos to experience, is just to have like an idea of what you're walking into. And also, if you want to take a drive and check out one of these places, now you know it exists.
Now, Nick was telling me that you visited Pizzeria Ludica. Can you tell us a little bit about that experience for you?
I love that place. I would have to say my favorite food is pizza. And so finding out that there's a pizza place with board games was just a highlight, and being able to go up there and meet with people that I'd been talking to on Instagram and playing games, that's a great, great spot. And I've only seen the one, and I've heard there's a couple more that have opened since in that area.
There's a second one.
There's a second one, yeah.
Yeah, so in Westminster.
I'm assuming they're probably about the same, just like Mox has two locations, and they're both pretty similar, just kind of size differences. But Pizzeria Ludica is a fantastic spot to check out and meet up with new people and play new games.
Yeah, they're great people there, and they've actually helped host some of the events that Mark Ellis has arranged. We have some local game design and game jam events, and it's literally right around the corner from where Vancouver Playtest meets. So if you're in the neighborhood, if you're visiting Pizzeria Ludica again, Austin, or anyone listening, you might find that you have a game design event happening nearby. Now, you were saying earlier before we started the call that you're really working on starting up a community, and you already seem to have a community with all your friends and guests that you have on your videos. So tell us more about that and how you use Facebook and other platforms to share that.
It's a pretty big question. So with the community I'm talking about, is mostly I'm able to post about something or see somebody else who has a great page or comments on something, and can really just reach out to them and be like, hey, where are you located? And like, or I see you have this great new game, like, I'd love for you to share that with me. Or somebody sees that I have a great new game and we can meet up. And I've honestly just made so many new and great friends over the last probably year or more with just social media platforms, just being able to connect with all these people I would have never been able to reach before. And then when you go to conventions, you're coordinating, meeting up with them and promoting great spots is something else I want to do with my platform, is showing off these great places and conventions that are happening that you may not know about, and kind of build more community around these companies that are working hard to put out great stuff for us.
Tell us more about your local board game scene. There's obviously great board game companies that are out of the Pacific Northwest and Seattle area. Tell us about how the scene feels, how the outside people should see it.
You know, it's interesting. I'm not sure if you guys are aware of what's known as the Seattle Freeze. Have you heard of that before?
I haven't.
I have not. Please tell us more.
So there's this saying that goes around Seattle about the Seattle Freeze. And essentially what it means is you can meet people and they'll be like, yeah, it's so great to meet you. We'd love to like get together sometime. And then you hear nothing. Seattle is just known for everybody being really nice, but making like real connections can be hard, and you kind of get freezed out from a lot of different groups, kind of clicky in a way.
People say that Vancouverites are kind of flaky.
Okay.
Like you might be doing something and then a dozen people say they're going to come, and then half of them, for whatever reason, just flake out.
You know, I'd agree with you, Austin, that Vancouver has that freeze effect. Everyone's very friendly when you meet them, but it is hard to make those long-term connections. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's why I really appreciate things like the Vancouver Playtest Group that Mark Ellis founded. He's such a, you know, giving, amazing person, and so is our hosts, Rain City Games, where we have the playtest events. So, you know, cherish those connections when you make them.
Yeah, exactly. But with talking about the Seattle Freeze and like experiencing that firsthand when you live in this area, you would think that the board game community would feel kind of the same way. But honestly, I've found that the board game community in the Seattle area breaks that and is a great way to kind of get around that. There's people that I've met through social media and conventions that I still get together with at least quarterly and hang out with and talk about tough issues that they're going through and I'm going through, and kind of making true friendships. So I think our area has a lot of good areas to grow great, long-lasting friendships.
That's great to hear. Really, really inspiring. Is there like a neighborhood in the Seattle area that's really exciting to you, or where is your kind of go-to spot for game-related events or venues?
Getting together with people and playing games, or especially where I purchase all of my games from, you got to have your friendly local game store that you're supporting, because without them, what would we be doing? So we have a fantastic one just north of Seattle that, because I'm a little bit outside of the Seattle area, not much, like 20 minutes north. So up in that area in Bothell, Washington, there is Zulu's Board Game Cafe. And
I've heard of it.
Okay. Zulu's is my go-to. So I pre-order all of my games with them, and I'm there. I actually walk there a lot of the times and get together with friends, and they have events going on all the time, especially if you're into Magic the Gathering. That's like constant. But also, more lately, they've been promoting a lot of role-playing events and having people that they trust come in to be the dungeon master, and then you can just sign up to just drop into these sessions and role play, which is really cool to see, especially when you walk in and there's 10 tables full of whole groups of people playing role playing.
That sounds so awesome. Have you done a review on Zulu's?
Zulu's has been under construction because they are just so fantastic and they're just booming in the area that they're growing and growing and growing. And so actually, November, I will be shooting my video for Zulu's finally, because they're just finishing up their main construction projects. And I'm actually going to be having a birthday event there with another gamer that I met at a convention and her birthday's around the same time. So we're going to have about 30 people show up for a birthday board game event, essentially. So we're going to pack out that place. It's going to be like a mini convention almost.
It's like they're renovating just for you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like great fun. Yeah, I think the advantage you guys have in Washington State in America with your game stores is definitely size. Like Vancouver, I don't know what it is. It's probably the real estate prices are really expensive downtown that you really don't get any expansive board game stores that you can walk through and really just find an open table. Just the video that you showed of Mox looked, you know, fantastic and huge compared to what we're used to. Can you tell us about another video or a venue that you went to that really got you excited about what they're doing?
Yeah, it's actually funny that you say Mox is very large and got you excited, because the video I did for Mox, that's their Seattle location. And on the east side, they have a Bellevue location, which is probably 4 times the size. And I love going there because that's just huge. You know, down in Portland, there is this fantastic spot called Game Night Lounge. They are a really cool pub. Their space is rather limited. So a lot of times, if you come in a busy spot, like getting a table can be a little bit of a wait, especially if you're waiting for people to finish a board game that could take some time. But the people there are just the best. They're so welcoming and friendly and would love to introduce new people who are walking off the street to board games. And I just love that. You'll just sit there and you'll see somebody walk in and be like experiencing board games in the modern age for the first time and being like, whoa, that's a lot of board games. Like, where do I even start? And they're like, here, let me show you some options. Like, what have you played in the past? Maybe you've played Monopoly. Maybe you'll like this then. And they have just a great spot there. And I love their inclusiveness.
Excellent recommendation, especially from another state. I think that board game retailers, people that run game-related venues that are not jaded, are like saints. So we should give them all the praise that we can.
And it makes such a big difference when you go to one of these places and you can just tell that the owner has a strong passion for gaming. It just really shines through, I think.
Yeah, and Game Night Lounge, I actually had a conversation with the owner after hours. They were like closing down and we were still playing games, and they're like, oh, you're cool, you can stay for a while they're closing up shop. And so I was having a conversation with their owner and I was asking him why they don't sell games. Essentially, they just have games you can check out to play and you can bring your own games, and they have a full bar and food menu. And I was like, why aren't you selling games? And he was like, just where we're located, I don't want to take away from the retailers, the board game stores that are around us. I'd much rather us do our own thing. And when people ask, where can I buy this game? We'll point them to those local game stores.
Now, we were talking earlier about your Instagram account. I was just checking out earlier today. There's some beautiful, exciting games that you're playing recently. I think Vindication is one that I wanted to check out. Tell us about some of the games you've been playing and what are you enjoying these days?
Vindication, that is, I would have to say that's my second favorite game of all time. And the Kickstarter is just released with the new expansions, which just adds more. But I love how that game is just so open. You can really just choose a different thing to focus on and have just as much likelihood as a person next to you who's doing something completely different to win. And I can play the game the same way 4 times in a row, and then I can be like, oh, I want to try something new. I'm going to go for this way of winning. And with the expansion, it just added even more ways and things to do.
So would you say that deeper strategy games are your thing, or what genres do you enjoy?
I love a good heavy game. I actually was just playing Trajan last night.
And Steffenfeld.
That one burns my brain a little bit with trying to like plan ahead so far.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. So I do love the heavy games like that. And my favorite game of all time is Scythe. So those games I can really get into and invest a good amount of time in and feel really satisfied. But I also love smaller games. I'm especially really obsessed lately with roll and write games. I'm not sure if you guys have gotten into those.
As is the whole industry.
Yeah, roll and writes have been booming.
Well, that's very cool that you cover such a wide range of games. Good call on Scythe, though. That one's endlessly fun. And I got to get back to my legacy game of that one with Fenris.
Oh, yes. I've been waiting, and I think I'm getting close to the time where I'm going to start posting pictures of my Fenris campaign, because I completed that months and months and months ago. Like, when it first came out, I had already, like, pretty much completed it in, like, 2 weekends. So, but I don't want to spoil things, so I've been waiting, but hopefully I can post pictures soon.
Excellent. Now, I've seen some actual event coverage that you've done. I met you at an event. What regular event in Washington State do you like the best?
Yeah, I would have to say my favorite, which is probably because I've been attending it the longest, is called OrcaCon. Have you guys heard of that?
Yeah, it's quite close to us, actually.
Yeah, they do it on the east side of Washington, Seattle area in Bellevue. And actually, the first year I attended, I ended up role-playing with some guys who came down from Vancouver area. And so they get quite a pull. But it's really just a gamers playing convention, and really just a chance for me to get together with all these people I've connected over social media with at the same time, and get in lots of great games, and everybody brings their own games, and they have a good library, and lots of people who are helping get more and more people excited about the hobby and teaching games. And yeah, I just love the people there and the forward thinking of it and the inclusiveness that they have going on. So that's really the one I am always at every year.
Let's take a moment to hear Nick Angier's report on local events in the Greater Vancouver area.
Hey, this is Nick Angier's coming at you with board game events on the West Coast. Today, I'm very honored to be talking to Mr. Dennis Ryan. We're at Marple Meeples. This is a community gaming event in the Vancouver area. Hi, Dennis. How's it going? Welcome to the show.
Thanks a million for having me. This is a really nice opportunity and big fan.
So Dennis, why don't you tell us a bit about yourself, how you got into gaming, how and why you started Marple Meeples?
So I grew up in the countryside in Ireland, and my experience for board games was like Monopoly. That's pretty much it. Not even Scrabble or Clue, it was Monopoly. And then I went to college in Cork, and the day I arrived, I found out about the Wargaming and Roleplaying Society, or they're basically a tabletop society, but that was their name, Warps. They introduced me to everything, starting with Ticket to Ride and Carcassonne and Catan. Oh, that was a long time ago, that was like 1998. And I've been playing board games ever since then. Mm-hmm. So when I arrived in Vancouver, the first thing I did was find the nearest board gaming store, turned up one night, just sat down and started playing board games. And that's where I met all my first friends arriving here in Vancouver.
How did you decide to start the meetup?
So I still go to one in downtown in the West End. Mm-hmm. I had a really good time at that, but it's a long trip downtown for me. Mm-hmm. Marple is kind of right in the middle. So I've always wanted to broaden the community, and I knew a lot of my friends play board games in Marple. So I decided to open up one here, and the challenge was finding a location. But once I found that, I found like more and more new faces, and every month there's been like new people coming in the door, so it's been great.
So we're at St. Augustine's Church. Yeah. Is this a church that you frequently attend?
No, not at all. I had no connection to them before approaching them and asking them for the space. And it was immediate. There was no questions, there was no concerns. They were just like, yes, you can have it. We'd love to have you. We want to support you. And it's by donation, so technically it's free, but I can give them a small amount of money to support them or whatever.
Yeah.
But one of the big things is that our event itself is free. So there's no donation coming in.
Free for everybody to attend. I understand that you got a government grant.
Yes, I got a grant through the neighborhood small grant scheme. And that supports everything. That supports our advertising, our meetup.com fees, and the donation to the church at the end. So basically at the end of the year, once I've kind of paid for everything else, all the remainder goes to the church as a thank you and a support. The biggest challenge easily was finding a venue, because I approached several community centers and stuff, and ultimately community centers are a business, and they're charging me like $200 a night or whatever, and I was like, well, I clearly can't do that.
Pretty sure you can get it subsidized if it's a non-profit event.
Yeah, but it was still,
but
it's
only
still
a portion.
It's still a portion, and it's still more than I could afford. And luckily, I found St. Augustine's, and they were like super supportive, and have been to this day super supportive. We plan it like 6 to 8 months in advance, so that we know well in advance what, where things are going. They've never turned me down for a date. So.
A few months ago, remember, you just passed your first year anniversary. Congrats on that. What would you say is your favorite thing about running Marple Meeple?
The new faces. My goal is to grow the community every month, and it's always great having the regulars coming back and teaching games and, you know, strengthening that group. But always seeing new faces every month, and I think I can't think of a single month where I haven't had at least one new face, if not three or four. So new faces, growing the community, and finding out new people in my area. And hearing them say, I played board games for like 5 or 6 years with my friends, and I never knew that there was a big community here in Marple, and, you know, strengthening that is just amazing.
That is great. What do you see in the future for Marple Meeple?
It's more the same, growing it. Like, the hall that we have is remarkably spacious, and even on our busiest nights, we don't half to three quarters fill it, so just growing the community more and more. I'd also love to start doing charity events at some point down the line. I myself have Parkinson's, so I'd love to do something like that. My dream is to have a dexterity-based charity event for Parkinson's victims or sufferers.
That would be amazing.
So I think that would be hilarious.
All right, well, folks, you heard it first. A Parkinson's charity dexterity event in Marple. All right, and there you have it, Marple Meeples. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and thanks, Dennis, for being on the show.
Thank you very much.
Very cool. Now, is there an upcoming board game in the next quarter or so that you're excited about?
At the end of this month, we have PAX West coming up, and that's Penny Arcade Expo, and which is originally, when I heard about it, it's so focused on gaming as a whole that you can kind of get lost in all the video games and other type of virtual reality games and just all that stuff that they have in the convention center. But over going a couple years, I've just realized how much of a tabletop community they've been building up within that. And one of the things they do really well is they bring games from Gen Con. As a person who doesn't go to Gen Con because it's just too far away, they bring a lot of these games and just set them out on tables to play test and check those out. And so it's usually my time to see all these new games that everybody got to see at Gen Con. And there's lots of great people who attend that, attend PAX West as well.
Great to hear that they're starting to do more tabletop items. I know that there's the spin-off PAX Unplugged, I believe, is all about tabletop.
Correct.
And most recently, I've been talking with a group called Seattle Indies. They're a group of indie game developers, most of them video game, but also tabletop designers. And I just want to remind everyone, if this comes out before PAX, that they're doing the Seattle Indies Expo event on PAX weekend. So do go check that out, or maybe you can go check it out, Austin.
Yeah, that sounds great. You'll have to send me the details on that.
Yeah, absolutely. I will. I'd be happy to. So you were talking about OrcaCon and PAX, obviously. I guess we don't have too many big conventions up here in Vancouver. We got TCTC, Terminal City Tabletop Convention, like you mentioned.
It's usually in late March.
Right? We got Shucks coming up in, October, Nick?
First weekend of October. Will you be coming to that?
I will not. Unfortunately, I have a big family vacation coming up, and so I'm putting a lot of my money towards that right now. But in the future, I'd love to attend. I've heard it's a blast.
Right. I think probably the both of us, Nick and I, will be there. But family comes first, so totally understand. Still, we'd love to have you up here whenever you're thinking of coming up north, Austin. Do let us know.
Yeah, I actually I have another video planned in September to come up to the Vancouver area to shoot. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, give us a ring.
Yeah, I'll have to send you the details on that.
So we've heard a lot about your media channels. We heard a lot about the event coverage and the games you like to play. So this is a question I've been asking all of our guests. What non-gaming subject or person inspires you the most?
Yeah, you had kind of let me know that question was going to be coming, and I still find it so difficult to pick out one thing. But I guess non-gaming subject would, I would have to just go with nature. I think it's just such a big part of the Pacific Northwest and such a big reason why I love where I live is just, I feel so much more connected with nature and I feel so much more whole as a person when I'm out in nature. And especially if I can get in some backpacking trips and fit a game in my backpack, I love doing that. And also going camping and bringing a table and playing Catan by a river. Fond memories of doing that a lot. So I would have to say I'm really inspired by nature. And I love the fact that there's so much of it where we are.
Wow, that's beautiful. I think I don't get out into nature quite as much as I should, but I'm really glad that it's right nearby, right outside our windows.
Yeah.
Great. Nick, do you have any follow-up questions for Austin before we wrap up with the interview?
There was one other event that I wanted to ask you about. It's a new one coming up in May. It's also in the Pacific Northwest, down south of you.
Okay.
It involves a large animal that may or may not explode. A statue of an animal?
No, I honestly have no idea what you're talking about right now.
It's called Burning Cat. It's by the guys who did Exploding Kittens. So they're making like an experimental board game convention. And a lot of it is just thrown on its head. Like there's not a lot of focus on selling games. It's all about just hanging out with actual human beings and having fun together. There's even like an arena in the middle. Just let that sink in for a second.
Yeah.
Where they play dodgeball with these balls that are covered in hair. So, of course, it's called hairball.
Oh, my goodness.
And, yeah, it just sounds like really quirky, silly fun. They just announced it pretty recently. It'll be in May.
Oh, wow. I'll have to go look into more of that. I have not heard about that. But I do not play much of Exploding Kittens anymore. I've probably played it 350 times or more to the point where I'm okay never playing it again. It's a good game, but it's worn out.
I feel like you got your money's worth out of that. Yeah. $10 divided by 350 or something like that. No, that's good.
Yeah.
I tell you though, Austin, if you want to know more about events happening in the Pacific Northwest, you should talk to Nick here. He's got encyclopedic knowledge about them.
Yeah.
And a huge spreadsheet of every event in BC at least. And then I'm gradually adding ones from throughout the Pacific Northwest as well.
That sounds great. Yeah, I would love to connect with you more on that. And also, if you want more information on events that maybe you can't make it to and I'm going to, I'd love to share my thoughts with you about that so you can spread the word.
Deal.
Yeah, that would be super exciting. And maybe you'll grace us with your presence again. Give us a report on an event if you're not too tired from shooting your videos.
Yeah, I've actually been taking the summer off, so I haven't shot anything in a little while. So September, October, and November, I'm trying to get a video out each of those months.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. That is a lot of work, a lot more than just audio. Now, Austin, do you have any shout-outs you'd like to put out there? Or I know you mentioned some other social media people you've been connecting with or your other projects.
Yeah, I'd like to just shout-out to my wife. She's my wife, Valentina, is my biggest supporter. And when I told her this is what I wanted to embark on doing, she was very supportive. And she's actually my editor. So I am not that computer savvy, so she does all of the editing of all the video and gets it all ready for me to post. So without her, I wouldn't be able to do all this. And, shout out to Seattle-based board game publishers. We have a lot of great ones over here, such as Thing 12 Games. Sean is a good friend of mine and he is doing great work with the community and making great games. Forrest Prusen, who has been really up and coming, and they're working with Funko now, and they did Villainous, and they're making great games as well. And Grandpa Beck's Games. If you have a chance to meet anybody from their creative team, they are the nicest people in the world. And I really enjoy whenever I get to meet up with them.
Oh, very cool. Well, you might be excited to know that we have a representative from Funko. We're in the talks with having an interview with them pretty soon. And I've actually played Grandpa Beck's what is it? There's a pirate game, right? Pirates.
Skulking?
Ah, maybe that's the one.
It's a trick-taking bidding one?
It's a trick-taking game, that's right.
Yep.
I'll tell you, that's a fun one.
I have the pleasure to be located 15-minute drive from them, and so I have monthly game nights with them, and they get to show me all the new projects they're working on, and I get to see them before other people, and like I said, they're just the nicest people, so go out and support them.
Wow, that's awesome.
We'll definitely spread the word. I'm jealous that you got so many great board game companies in your local area, but you know what? Our scene up here in Vancouver and Western Canada becomes stronger by connecting with your scene. So, you know, any info you want to send our way, we'd be happy to share it.
Yeah, love to send you more info on everything I find.
And I'd just like to say that your wife's doing a great job with the video editing.
Yeah, my wife is just, she's the best wife out there. She really supports me, and the video editing she does for me is monumental.
Well, you're very lucky to have such a strong partner in life and media creation.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Austin. I want to thank you again for joining us for this episode. You're definitely one of the people I thought of first when I thought about the gaming scene in the Pacific Northwest. Definitely anyone listening, do go check out Austin's social media channels. And you said it's Pacific NW Gamer essentially at all those channels?
All of them are Pacific NW Gamer. I believe my Twitter, there's an underscore between NW and Gamer. But other than that, they're all Pacific NW Gamer. So check it out and see if you like my content.
That's right. Go follow Austin right away if you catch this episode. For the podcast, for Tescos Games, I've been Mark USA, your host. And I'd like to thank Nick Angier, who has been guest hosting today.
Thanks for having me on the show. This has been great.
Absolutely. All right, Austin, let's talk again really soon. And thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Reach out to us at tescosgames@gmail.com. Please consider supporting us at patreon.com/testcoast or send us a tip at ko-fi.com/testcoast. And rate and review us on iTunes so we can reach even more listeners. Our intro song is Day One by Declan DP, courtesy of the Internet Archive. Featuring Summertime by Scandinavians, courtesy of theartistunion.com. Additional music courtesy of dig.ccmixter.org and bensound.com. Please see our show notes for more details. Our outro song is Nike Sunder by Argo Fox, Creative Commons license. This has been the Tescos Games Podcast, Creative Commons, Attribution, Non-Commercial License.